Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
What's going on, everybody? Tobin here with you. A little Tobin's Fight Show edition. To recap everything that went down yesterday at the at Hard Rock Stadium, you had Logan Paul against Floyd Mayweather Jr. in an exhibition Showtime boxing card. My co-host and I, Leroy Horde, on the morning show, we were there. We were in the flesh. We were there, taking in the festivities, I guess, if you will. And just thought I'd get on here and give my thoughts on what went down. We talked about it a little bit this morning, as far as everything went down. And so, I just thought I'd give, because normally I get, to do my solo fight stuff on the weekends, but it was an odd one where we actually had a fight day on a Sunday. So I wanted to get one up of these as well for the podcast listeners, the YouTube listeners. We previewed a lot of it. Al Bernstein previewed the card and all that stuff. So appreciate all that from them. But, my overall scope of it, and you guys know this if you listen to this show, as I watch everything, I'm into every kind of level. I don't put myself above or beneath any type of fight combat event. I mean, I've been to, regional shows from bare knuckle to boxing to mixed martial arts. I've been to the biggest events and the ones that have tons of coverage. This one had a ton of coverage this week. I talked about this a little bit on the lead-in podcast previewing the show, just how much media was in town for this. And so much so, I wasn't even thinking. I was like, once we got our credentials approved, I was like, we're probably going to be in the press box again for this, not ringside, just because of how much media there was. And that's what it turned out to be. Same thing as it was for the Canelo fight. But, I think I come away with a couple of things, because we'll pop right into the Floyd Mayweather thing, and I'll dive into some other stuff. I think that overall I come away with it is I think we got a pretty decent five rounds of action, as far as you knew that Logan Paul was going to go in there. He was going to have his best stuff for probably about a couple rounds. Round three, Floyd was going to start, picking him up. And then round four or five, it was going to be, probably him going for broke to get Logan out of there. And I think he tried. I really do. I do think that Floyd was going there and he hit him with some flush stuff, and that he was able to pop Logan with some stuff that he didn't see coming. Logan was not returning much fire. He was missing a ton. And the one thing that probably stood out from a fan's perspective of disappointment, because I imagine most sporting fans who go into this are rooting for Floyd Mayweather to win, which is an odd thing because normally people are going in this wanting Floyd to lose. But one, I think, age and time away, makes you romanticize the athlete a little bit more. You appreciate his greatness a little bit more. And also, I just think that for whatever you want to call the sanctity of boxing, people were looking for him to win. And I certainly went into this thinking that Floyd was going to win and win easily, knowing that there are technically no winners, but there could be knockouts. But I even thought Floyd was going to be able to stop Logan Paul pretty easily. I thought that, and it wasn't like I didn't think he was going to get face planted on the canvas. I just thought that Logan Paul was going to eventually either take a body shot or too many shots that a referee was either going to step in or he was going to keel over or something to that effect. I thought it was just going to be from you know, like attrition. And that didn't happen. You know, like Floyd gave it, I think, a good college try for like a couple of rounds to really get Logan out of there. And I granted, Logan went and he was tying Floyd up basically from 6, 7, and 8, especially 7 and 8, to really not put himself into danger. I don't think that he had any return fire. You even heard his trainer going into the last round, how they were talking about just the idea of, hey, we're one away from doing it, you know, just going the distance, which is kind of a far cry from the pre-fight buildup of just, hey, we're gonna knock Floyd Mayweather out, we're gonna shake up the world. And he did. He was able to go the distance. And I will say, from Logan's perspective, you do give him credit, because it did look like he was gonna wilt away about halfway through that fight, that he was no shot in hell he was making it through. You can call it dirty tactics, you can call it hugging, a hug fest, certainly, but he found a way to get to the final bell. I think from Floyd's perspective, I do think that there was a level of him that was disappointed in his performance. And I think a couple of things. One is that he said this was going to be super easy and that it wasn't going to be any challenge at all, and that he could do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And that wasn't really the case. And what I mean by that, it's not that he wasn't absolutely schooling him from the spot of Logan Paul couldn't touch him, that he was in front of him. But from an offensive standpoint, which Floyd has never been, you know, he wasn't able to get Logan Paul out of there. I think he gave it and revved up the engine a little bit more, but he wasn't able to get him out of there when he did tune it up a little bit to try and get him out of there. He didn't put him away whenever he wanted to. And I don't think all of that just puts on Floyd's age. I think this is just science. I think you're going in there with a guy who is got a lot of weight on you, got a lot of size on you, hasn't taken a lot of shots, is young, and you know, was able to withstand whatever little storm that you gave him. He clearly, I'll give Logan this, he clearly was not swallowed up by the stage at all. That he held forth really, really well. And yeah, I just think from Floyd's perspective, I think you can even see in himself, like he was talking about age a lot. He talked a lot about in the post-fight about, you know, how his body was feeling and that he just doesn't feel the same. And the other thing that really stood out to me with Floyd is he was talking all week about the idea that he was going to do more of these exhibitions, that he could just keep doing it. And he tempered a lot of that talk in the afterbirth. Now, maybe that's just Floyd not wanting to keep getting questions about it. But I tend to lean towards, I think he's finally at the point where he's like, you know what? I don't need to do this anymore. This is kind of his last heist, if you will, his last legal bank robbery, as he hilariously puts it. And that I don't think there's anything left for him to do, because I really don't know what else there. I mean, you could say it's the Jake Paul fight, I guess, but I don't even know. I don't even know if that does as big as it does, especially, you know, one of the things with Jake, and I actually thought was probably a misstep from him, but from a master promoter standpoint, because he likes to get everybody pissed off at him, but he's pumped for his brother, saying 15-1. Like, the move there is, I'm going to go and I'm going to give the guy his first loss. That's the move I would have been. But, you know, he's just going through that as an honest troll's eyes. So, you know, for everybody, I guess the bigger thing that I want to make a point of in this recap, more so than the fight, because I don't really feel like there's a lot of technical stuff to go for. You know, all the people who are like, oh, look, Floyd knocked him out and he held him up with your 3-second Twitter clips and all that type of stuff. I'm like, no, I don't think so. I think, I think there were moments for Floyd, but I think that there's a risk reward thing. He's always, always, always. This is the one thing that never changes with Floyd, is that he's always, always, always super calculated. And I do think that Logan Paul, big brute that he is, if Floyd on a night where it's rain and slippery canvas, something, you cannot withstand the humiliation of losing to a YouTuber. You can't be the guy who loses like that. And, you know, we've seen Floyd with that coming forward style where he turtles up and he's ready to kind of unleash some hooks on him. Didn't throw a lot of jabs in this fight. And in the Conor fight, I just thought that he got to a point where he knew Conor couldn't hurt him. They were the same weight. Connor had no steam, no mustard on his shots. There was no danger. And so Floyd just kept coming forward and kept coming forward. I do think when you have a guy that's as big as Logan Paul, there's always an inherent danger. What if he gets lucky on one? What if it's the Brian Maxwell, Chad Ochocinco, where Brian Maxwell just swings out of his shoes and Floyd just doesn't have to be looking, bang, it's done, and you're on the canvas. So while it's unsatisfying, the ending to Floyd, it's definitely the better result in comparison to losing to Logan Paul. And, you know, I don't think it takes away from his legacy. I saw some stupid things about that, like this ruins his credibility. If you thought that Floyd Mayweather had the same credibility at 44 years old, that's a you problem. I mean, that's on you for thinking that you're going to get the same guy. That, you know, if you want to relate this to professional wrestling, that you think that Hulk Hogan can come out and do the same moves that he did when he was doing WrestleMania 3. It's just not. It's not the same thing anymore. You know, you're watching a guy go in there and you know, come in with the cool outfits and do a shoulder roll or do his his patented moves or any of that type of stuff, but it's not the same guy. It's not the same Floyd Money Mayweather, as much as he wants to say it is. And I think that he knew that afterwards. That I think from Floyd's perspective, I saw a guy body language wise that I thought was a little bit disappointed in himself. And that's okay. You know, he's a perfectionist. I think that he thought that he got in there with an absolute novice and that he was going to be able to do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, and he wasn't. He was. Now, look, the novice didn't do anything to him other than hold him. He didn't touch him, maybe a couple shots here and there. He didn't do anything to him. So there were none of those moments. Even McGregor had one of those with the uppercut. But I think the disappointment was people were like, yeah, Floyd, you should have gotten him out of there. And he didn't. And I think he dearly wanted to. I really do think he wanted to. I don't think that these people were like, oh, if it would have went longer, it's better for the pay. Like, no, that's not how it worked. Like once these guys step in the ring and the bell rings, as long as they are putting forth a competitive spirit, they're going to get their purses afterwards. It's not, other than the guy who, like, the bell rang, he stepped into the ring and then walked out. There's no carry. There's no, it has to be held longer. Any of that stuff. No. So as far as this whole phenomenon with the YouTubers, continuing to fight, I don't know if it's going away. I don't know what the next move is for Logan. You know, I know he tried to pitch the rematch there. I don't think people are going to be into that. I think that, you know, I know he's teased MMA. I think that'd be kind of a fun move for him to try and branch over into another sport, because there's really nothing in boxing unless he can convince Canelo, who hates this like poison, unless he can convince Canelo to do it. I really don't know what else is on the tail for Logan. In a weird way, his brother's doing the kind of the slow build up, you know, which is going to lead to a lot more fights. I don't know where Logan Paul goes from here, because in a lot of people's minds, they've watched him box twice and he's 0-2. But he does deserve some credit, because I certainly thought that, especially watching him work out on Wednesday? I was down in Miami Beach watching him work out, and I was like, man, this dude looks like he's going to be tired in the middle of this fight. And it looked like that was going to happen. But he weathered the storm, and he was able to get through, and he was able to showboat a little bit in the last round. And, you know, good for him. Good for him for getting that. To the people who say, like, this ruins boxing and this is a black eye for the sport, heard a lot of that on, like, the national radio platforms because I had a long drive home. And I just think that's, you know, that's a thing that people who don't follow boxing and don't care about boxing say about us. You know, I'll give you a perfect example. I do this all the time with soccer, where I'm trying to get into soccer. I really wanted to get into MLS and our soccer team down here in Miami. And I know for the soccer opponents who are watching this too, I know MLS sucks. I'm just usually a guy who needs a local tie, something. I can't root for a team in Europe quite yet. It's just not my style. I'm trying. But I'm coming with the pig-headed, nobody scores, I don't get it, I don't get Premier League, Champions League, Man City, Man United, all these Manchesters, Chester the Rabbit, all these people. I don't know who these people are. Leicester City, Man City, Blue Moon, Red Devils, all these types of things. Chelsea, I can name, you know, some teams, but I don't know what any of it means. I don't. And I know that I'm always surprised by soccer rules. And I think that when I listen to some of these people talk about boxing, that's how I probably feels. It probably feels like a soccer nut listening to me try and wax poetic on the beautiful game. Because when it comes to the sweet science, people saying it's dead, I honestly think that, yeah, boxing has its problems. Some of it, you know, could you say is Floyd inspired? Yeah, I mean, you can. A lot of guys really valuing. He puts such a value on making himself the A side, making himself undefeated, all those types of things. I do think there are a lot of young boxers that come up with that. But in a lot of ways, Floyd had good lessons for them too, because, you know, these promoters will cut you cold, and you need to have yourself put above that. But it hasn't necessarily led to the best competition on some levels either. But I honestly think that in a lot of ways, some of the boxing talent is as good as it's been in a long time. A long time. I think that there's a lot of guys in many, many weight classes that I like to tune into every single night. I still think that there are a ton of big fights to make at lightweight. Welterweight as a monster with Manny and Errol Spence. If Errol and Terrence could ever get their bleep together, that'd be a monster fight. The heavyweight's been a live picture now for about 5 years, ever since Vladimir Klitschko lost the belt. There's been a lot of interest and a lot of things going on there. So, yeah, I don't think this is an indictment on boxing. I think it's just a reflection on what we are interested in now as a society. And I say this about the Paul brothers, and one of the things that's you really haven't been able to look away from is that they're just so good at getting their fan base revved up, and they're so good at getting people to hate them. And they're honestly so good at producing stuff that I think it also makes some people believe in them too. And in a lot of ways, that causes, that they're such great self-promoters, that part of it lends itself to fighting. They have trained very hard and gotten themselves in good physical shape that they do look a part in this. And then from Jake's standpoint, Jake has, say what you want about his competition, but Jake has put through some viral moments, especially in his last two fights, to make himself continue to have an audience wanting to come there and ask what's next for him. Logan, I mean, not so much. I mean, Logan is, his fight against KSI and his fight against Floyd Mayweather, he doesn't have the moments that his brother has. So I that's why I don't know if there's as much of a future for this. But this isn't going to deter me. What happened tonight is not going to deter me from what happens in a couple of weeks when Teofimo Lopez steps into the ring, or what's going to happen in August when it is Errol Spence stepping in there against Manny Pacquiao, or when Tyson fights Deontay Wilder, or when Tyson Fury fights Anthony Joshua, or Canelo fights Caleb Plant, or any of these big title fights, Josh Taylor versus Terrence Crawford, any of these big fights that are going to be coming up, it's not going to deter me because I watched, Floyd Mayweather Jr. go 8 rounds with Logan Paul. Even if Floyd, I think, could be slightly disappointed in his performance, in the fact that he didn't do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, against a guy much bigger than him. But I'm sure, as it always is with him, is that he knows that he's a guy that people a lot of the times come away from his performances wanting more, wanting to see more. And he uses that as fuel for you to watch him the next time. And that's what's been filling his pockets for a long, long time, is that a lot of the times people root for him to lose or get frustrated by his style and are always looking for the answer and are always looking for this. This was a little bit different because I do feel like most of the sporting fans were rooting for him, and they came away disappointed probably because he didn't knock Logan Paul out. But he's used to that. He's been dealing with people not liking the way he goes about his business for a long, long time. I think the only difference with this one being is that he truly seemed like a guy tonight who's just like, I don't think I should physically be doing this anymore. And I thought it was the most, you know, the most human side we've seen of him in the entire lead up to this thing. But look, man, we got tons of fights to look forward to. Plenty of great action to look forward to. I just wanted to get some thoughts out there on this night. As far as the other fights on the card, like, you know, Badu Jack doing work against Kalina was just holding him left and right. My guy Stacy McKinley was ripping his fighter a new one. I was dying laughing at that. But Badu Jack did what he was supposed to do against the guy who took the fight on 5 days' notice and really wasn't there to fight. Fight of the night was definitely Luis Arias versus Jared Swift, and most of that was the thunder that was brought from Arias, who just went at him like a complete pit bull, relentless. He was another guy. He looked like maybe he was going to gas himself out and found that second storm and really weathered it, and I thought definitely got the decision. I was, you know, confused by some of the people that thought Swift deserved it. I thought Swift was pretty lackluster in this fight. I thought that he looked like a guy that, you know, really wasn't in a lot of danger. He had a couple of ooh moments where you were like, oh, maybe he's really wobbled there. But I think he went a little too, you know, relaxed into this, thinking that there was going to be a moment where I was going to be able to knock out Luis Arias. And he didn't feel like he put the work in enough from a punch output standpoint. And then, my, you know, Chad Ochocinco going four rounds with Brian Maxwell. He ends up getting tasting the canvas in the fourth round. I thought it was okay. I mean, like, it's impossible for me not to, you know, it's 4 2-minute rounds, and in one of them he ends up getting sent halfway across the ring. But, you know, props to Chad for getting in there and doing it, and props to Maxwell for, I think having the moment of the fight, clearly. But, yeah, man, that's our recap of last night. We got plenty more to get to, as a lot of fights are coming down here to South Florida, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.